Iran's top general says his country is determined to continue to develop its drone program, which is already among the world's top five. The Chinese army conducts military drills near Taiwan in response to what it regards as war games by the U.S. and Taiwan. And Hamas says the recent FIFA World Cup proved that normalization with the Tel Aviv regime is just an illusion. It's good to have you with us. Iran is standing among the world's top five drone powers, with its UAVs ranking high in terms of accuracy and endurance. Major General Mohammad Bagheri says claims by Western powers that Iran-made drones are deployed by other countries are part of the anti-Iran psychological warfare, yet they show that Iranian unmanned aerial vehicles are effective. The chief of the Joint Staff of Iranian Armed Forces says that Iran has developed the drone capacity by using domestic resources in cooperation with domestic universities and research centers. The general stressed that Iranian armed forces will continue to develop their drone power and will embark on relevant cooperation with other countries. The Chinese military has conducted strike drills in the sea and airspace around Taiwan, that in response to what Beijing calls provocative war games launched by Taiwan and the U.S. China's army reported having carried out joint combat readiness patrols and firepower strike drills around Taiwan. The exact location of the war games has not been specified. The military stressed that it would take all necessary measures to resolutely defend China's national sovereignty and territorial integrity. Taiwan has recently received $2 billion worth of weapons from the U.S., boosting its military cooperation with Washington, which Beijing strongly opposes. Normalization deals between some Arab states and Israel continue to draw public anger. In Morocco, people have held protest rallies in more than two dozen cities to condemn ties with the Tel Aviv regime. The centerpiece of the protest was staged in the capital, Rabat, where demonstrators marched on Parliament. They chanted slogans and held signs calling the deal treacherous and demanding its cancellation. They also set fire to the Israeli flag and reiterated their unwavering support for the Palestinian cause. Israel and Morocco agreed to a U.S.-sponsored deal to normalize relations in December 2020. Three other Arab countries had already signed similar agreements with the regime. Agreements have been widely denounced by Palestinian groups and Muslim nations. Earlier in our news review program, we discussed the Israeli normalization deals with a number of Arab states and the public clash against them.
To discuss that further, we're joined by Barry Grossman, international lawyer, joining us live from Bali, and also Wafa Al-Udaini, a Palestinian activist and journalist, joining us from Gaza City. Thank you very much to both of you for joining us on this edition of the News Review. Let's begin with Barry Grossman. Now, we hear these people chanting slogans which are completely the opposite of the road that their government is going down.
From the beginning, that the policy embraced by Morocco's government is completely at odds with popular opinion in Morocco and indeed across most of the Arab world. In fact, something approaching or slightly exceeding 80% of people are fully committed to supporting Palestinians and the Palestinian cause without qualification, and in denouncing any normalization or what they like to call partial normalization with the occupation. So the starting point in understanding any of this has to be recognizing that these moves towards normalization, and they're very significant moves, I might add, are entirely contrary to public opinion in the nations involved.
So Wafa al-Udaini, it was interesting for us to see during the games, the FIFA World Cup, we saw Moroccans holding a Palestinian flag and, of course, expressing their unwavering support for the Palestinian cause, and that actually attracted a lot of attention.
Yeah, well, firstly, thanks for having me. Indeed, what happened with in the World Cup, indeed, it was like a slap to the, in the face of the occupation, because their main aim behind signing this agreement is to cut the ties between the Arab nations, to cut the ties between the Arab countries, and then weaken the Arab the Arabs more and more. But what happened exactly in the World Cup, and when we see the Moroccan national team raising the Palestinian flag, this thing, like, it was like an earthquake for the occupation, because, and even the Moroccan people, not only the national team, even the Moroccan people, we saw them holding the Palestinian flag beside the Moroccan flag. And this thing proves that their normalization and their assignment is against the people's will. And indeed, we all know that the Moroccan people are among the most supportive people for the Palestinian cause. So, and the protests that we see these days, indeed, another proof to this thing. So no matter they do for the Arab nations and the Arab countries, actually they will not hinder them from supporting the just Palestinian cause.
So, Mr. Grossman, you just pointed to the rift between the people, the nation, and the government. And this doesn't seem to apply only to Morocco. We've seen this in other Arab countries that have normalized ties with Israel. We see that this is not a popular move, and the nation actually does not support the government's move of normalizing ties with Israel.
Absolutely. We're also seeing a lot of the same sort of sentiment in the wider Atlantic world. I guess what's important is that there seems to be a whole lot more understanding in Arab nations about what these 2020 Abraham Accords actually ceded to the occupation. So in essence, what's required under these accords is for the signatory country, in this case Morocco, to work with the United States and with the occupation to prevent any hostile action against the occupation whatsoever, and to essentially criminalize any support, external support, based in Morocco that might be construed as supporting hostile action, like, for example, armed conflict in occupied Palestine. And more importantly, it obliges Morocco and other signatory countries to fully embrace, fully submit to a U.S.-sponsored strategic agenda for the Middle East, which also involves regional security agreements and cooperating on intelligence and everything else. And finally, the accords stipulate that the signatory country may not enact any legislation which is in conflict with any part of the Abraham Accords, and that to the extent there is any conflict, be it with domestic legislation or other international treaties, that it's the Abraham Accords that prevail. So no small part of the independence of the signatory country has been signed away by signing on to these accords, which they like to characterize as a partial normalization, but it's in fact a complete rollover.
And Ms. O'Dainey, in your opinion, do you believe that the public pressure and the popular movements can actually lead the governments to back down from the stances they have and having normalized their ties with Israel?
Yeah, of course. I do believe in the power of people, that they are the ones who put a pressure in their government and that they can change. I know that this step is a little bit late to change, but I do believe in the power of people. When they decide to do something, when they revolute, nobody can hinder them and nobody can stop them or even silence them, because this normalization deal, actually, it was based on something wrong. So for sure, this wrong thing is going to break one day, and the people will have their word one day, inshallah, and I hope very soon.
Thank you very much, Wafa Al-Udaini, a Palestinian activist and journalist joining us live from Gaza, and Barry Grossman, international lawyer from Bali. Thanks for sharing your thoughts and views with us on this edition of the News Review.
Hello and welcome back. A senior Hamas official says the Palestinian people are capable of defeating the Israeli occupation regime and its neo-fascist cabinet. Khaled Mashal says the new Israeli cabinet, which actually led by Benjamin Netanyahu, is full of far-right extremist figures. He said that Israel thinks this extremist cabinet can put an end to the Palestinian cause, but the Palestinian people can turn this new challenge into an opportunity through unity. Citing the so-called normalization deals with several Arab countries, Mashal added that this year's World Cup in Qatar showed that it is an illusion that Arab countries can truly normalize ties with Israel. He stressed that Muslim nations are united in their opposition to the Zionist regime. Khaled Mashal made the remarks while addressing a ceremony in Lebanon, marking the 35th anniversary of the formation of the resistance movement. The Russian president says Moscow is ready to negotiate with all other parties involved in the Ukraine war, but it is Kiev and its Western backers that refuse to engage in talks. Vladimir Putin says that Russia is moving in the right direction in Ukraine because the West, led by the U.S., is trying to tear Russia apart. He says that Russia is only defending its national interests and protecting its citizens. Putin pointed to the planned U.S. delivery of the Advanced Patriot missile system to Ukraine, saying that he is 100% confident that Russia will destroy the battery. The Ukraine war is the most deadly conflict in Europe since World War II and the biggest confrontation between Moscow and the West in 60 years. Moscow says it will keep fighting until it achieves its proclaimed goals of demilitarizing and denazifying Ukraine are achieved. Meanwhile, Ukraine has announced that it will not rest until all Russian forces are driven out of its territory. The death toll from a fuel tanker explosion in the South African city of Boksburg has risen to 16. The health minister had earlier put the death toll at 10. Three hospital employees, two nurses and a driver, died later from severe burn injuries. 37 people from the emergency unit were also injured at the blast. It occurred when a tanker carrying liquefied petroleum gas got stuck under a low bridge and then exploded before firefighters could reach the scene of the incident. At least 28 people have died in the U.S. as the winter storm is wreaking havoc in the holiday season. Temperatures have plunged to minus 45 degrees Celsius, making it the coldest Christmas in living memory. More than 200 million people, that's around 60% of the population, are under some form of weather warning or advisory. The eastern states have been hit the hardest. Blizzard conditions have left almost 300,000 homes and businesses without power. The severe weather is also causing travel chaos across the U.S. Nearly 8,000 flights have been canceled, leaving holiday travelers stranded. The year 2022 is drawing to a close, and this is typically a festive time marked by happiness. But for many families in the U.S. and in the U.K., this year has been especially hard, as they had to deal with issues ranging from hunger to a cost of living crisis. This Christmas is not a time for cheers and festivities for many in the U.S. A hunger crisis is affecting U.S. households. Food insecurity is already a critical problem affecting millions of Americans. One of the most typical factors affecting people suffering from food insecurity this time of the year are extreme winter conditions. But this year especially, many are suffering from hunger and high food prices due to unprecedented inflation that has gripped the U.S.
the guys, the pool, every team, everything is high now.
It is concerning, so I always shop online to make sure that I can find the best prices for groceries and for, like, gas as well.
Last year, more than 33 million Americans lived in food-insecure households, including 9 million children. The figure dropped in 2021, thanks to COVID relief programs. One also does not need to look any further than U.S.'s food assistance program called SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, to see the severity of the problem. The federal government increased SNAP by 12.5% this fall, adjusted to the rate of inflation. In the fiscal year 2021, SNAP served an average of 41.5 million people per month. The U.S. President Joe Biden may boast of a minor drop in inflation.
And yesterday, we got data that showed that manufacturing orders were up, but cost increases in supply chain items were beginning to ease. The week before that, we got data showing the price increase may be beginning to ease as well.
But the fact of the matter is that the U.S. population is suffering from poverty, unemployment, a lack of affordable housing, and lack of access to health care. This is on top of systemic racial inequities. All of these factors have driven food insecurity that affects around 10% of U.S. households.
And that does it for World News. Bye-bye for now.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of learning.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all in these snowy and cold days of winter. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, December 25th, 2022. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, or messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special. And today, Christians, especially Christians in the West, are celebrating Christmas. So I, on behalf of all IRIB English Radio staff, congratulate our Christian listeners on the occasion of Christmas. We wish you peace, good health, love, joy, and good tidings on the occasion of Christmas and the New Year. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from around the world, from Christian Ivanoch from Italy, Musharraf Hussein Jahangir Dehlavi from India, and Frank Thies from the Netherlands. So, Musharraf Hussein, Frank and Christian, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Thank you for the reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. And all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL from us. And of course, we've received piles of letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here, and later during the program, I will read these emails. From the UK, we've received an email from Alan Rowe. Diego Garcia Diaz from Spain has sent us an email. From India, we've received an email from Abdul Alim. From Argentina, we've received an email from Alejandro Fulimunchak. And the last but not the least, of course, in this edition of Listeners Special, is an email from Pakistan, from Musharraf Hossein Jahangir Dehlavi. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. As I said, Alan Rowe from the UK has sent us an email. Let's see what Alan says. Dear English section, IRIB English Radio, thank you so much for the EQSL. It's very kind of you to take the extra time to send out the QSLs in this way. While it is always very nice to receive one of your lovely paper QSL cards, I'm nevertheless very happy to receive my QSL as an EQSL. I thank you for continuing to broadcast your programs on the shortwave. It is good to be able to listen to your programs in our evenings here in Europe. With greetings from England and my best wishes. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you in these cold, snowy winter days. Alan Rowe from the UK. We hope you're fine and thank you for this email. So, Alan Rowe from the UK, as you may know, almost everybody is interested in listening radio through shortwave. So we proudly continue our broadcast via shortwave. And this is what most of our listeners want. I mean, listening to the traditional kind of radio, shortwave radio. Anyway, thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Of course, if you're a Christian, we wish you a happy Christmas and New Year 2023, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And please accept our electronic QSL as verification. Alan Rowe from the UK. And from Spain, we've received another email from Diego Garcia Diaz. Let's see what Diego says. Dear staff at IRIB English Radio, my name is Diego Garcia Diaz, and I'm writing to you from Salamanca, Spain. I'd like to receive QSL if it is possible. I don't know if you send QSL on paper by post. If it isn't possible, I'd like to receive an EQSL. Thank you very much for your attention. Salam and warm greetings to you from the snowing Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And many thanks for sending this email to us, Diego Garcia Diaz from Spain. And we are so glad that the signals of IRIB English Radio are received in your region, Salamanca, Spain. And if you're a Christian, Merry Christmas to you, and we wish you a happy 2023. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Diego Garcia Diaz, and my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL as verification. So after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back from India. As I said, we've received an email from Abdul Alim. Abdul Alim says, "Dear sir or madam, I am a DXer and I love listening to international radios. I have been sending reception reports all over the year to the radios worldwide. I request you to send me new calendar and other promotional items to so DXers, including me, feel happy. I would be greatly appreciated if you send one. First of all, salam and greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and please accept our warm appreciations to you for sending this email to us, Abdul Alim from India. And as you may know, and as we have said several times, sending any material, including calendar or other promotional items to our great listeners around the world at the time of pandemic is not possible. So please accept our EQSL as verification, Abdul Alim from India. Again, thank you for this email, and we're looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And from Argentina, we've received an email from Alejandro Flimonchak. Let's see what Alejandro says. "Hi, I am glad that I could catch your signals here in Buenos Aires, Argentina, a few days ago. I attached an audio clip sample. Reception was good, with a lot of noise, but overall good. Thank you for your precious efforts. Waiting for a verification from your side. God bless you all. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from the snowy Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And Alejandro Flimonchak from Argentina, please accept our warm appreciations to you for this email. It shows your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And God bless you too. And we congratulate you on the World Cup you won. It was so great, the efforts your footballers made. Anyway, my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL as verification. And of course, we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received an email from Pakistan from Musharraf Hussain Jahangir Dehlavi, who had sent us a reception report. Let's see what Musharraf Hussain says. "Assalamu alaikum. I hope you are doing well. I pray for your long life and health and happiness. First of all, I feel extremely sorry to say that I can't understand the correct pronunciation of your Listeners Special host name. I am not perfect in English. I know English very little, but honestly, I always try to understand your programs. I read online content and I listen to your programs online. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Musharraf Hussain Jahangir Dehlavi from Pakistan, and thank you very much for sending this email to your favorite program, Listeners Special. And if I want to pronounce my name again, that is, Atefe Erfani. I hope you can understand it very well. Anyway, thank you very much for sending this email to us. And we are looking forward to hearing from you soon. And of course, my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL as verification. Thank you again, Musharraf Hussain Jahangir Dehlavi from Pakistan. Welcome back. Before wrapping up this edition of Listeners Special, I do send my warm gratitudes and appreciations to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports and emails and letters from around the world, including Abdul Alim from India, Kristen Ivanaj from Italy, Frank Thies from the Netherlands, Musharraf Hussain Jahangir Dehlavi from India, Diego Garcia Diaz from Spain, of course, Alan Rowe from the UK, Alejandro Flimonchak from Argentina, And that is all. Many thanks for being with us and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis sabri was salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now let's listen to the speech of Sheikh Jafar Jafar.
I begin in the name of Allah, the most kind, the most merciful. It's due to that kindness and mercy that we have these opportunities where we gather in remembrance and glorification of Him, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Since today's program, you know, coincides nearly with the Christmas holiday and our Christian brothers and sisters celebrating the birth of Jesus, Nabi Isa alayhi salam, you know, we know that Nabi Isa alayhi salam's maqam and his position is firmly established in Islam. He is one of the Ulul Azam prophets, one of the five chosen great prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala considers to have extreme determination. Not only is he one of these five chosen prophets, you know, the belief in him is a necessary component to the completion of our faith, right? We as Muslims cannot be considered a Muslim if we deny the nubuwwah of any of the prophets that came prior. And therefore, the belief in Nabi Isa alayhi salam is fundamental to the completion of our faith and us being considered a Muslim in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, God has glorified him and has made his position known by mentioning him over 90 times in the Holy Quran, right? As a lesson for each of us, the fact that his mother, Sayyidah Maryam alayhi salam, has an entire chapter of the Quran named after her. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly acknowledges the work that Nabi Isa alayhi salam has done in guiding mankind, the roots that he laid, that the Prophet of our time, the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Amma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad, continued that legacy after him to bring the people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an individual that is highly venerated by us, revered by us. And just to describe again, in God's own words, his status, we look at Suratul Maryam, verses 30 through 32, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions six great honors or qualities that he has given to Nabi Isa alayhi salam. He says that Nabi Isa said to the people, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابَ وَجَعْلَنِي نَبِيًّا, that indeed I am the servant of Allah, I am an abd of Allah. He gave me a kitab, a scripture, وَجَعْلَنِي نَبِيًّا, and he made me a nabi, a prophet. وَجَعْلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ, and he had made me blessed wherever I may have been or wherever I go. وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّا, and I am to enjoin in the prayer and enjoin the zakat as long as I am alive. وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي, and I am kind to my parents. وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا, and he has not made me a wretched tyrant. Six beautiful qualities here. Yeah? The first one being that he is Abdullah. This is something he himself says. And again, as Muslims, this is extremely important, right? That he himself proclaimed that I am not God, I am not the son of God, but I am an abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that in itself is an amazing maqam. But then on top of that, he was given a kitab, a scripture. That means he was separated. And he was made a nabi. And he was made mubarak. Yeah, mubarak is a... something that we've talked about, you know, this is one of the names of Sayyidah Zahra alayhi salam, that she was Mubarakah, blessed. You know, Mubarak is something that the concept of Barakah in Islam is very beautiful. You know, it's something that continues to give. That any time you are considered Mubarak, it means you are of use to the creation of God. Yeah? If you can be useful to the creation of God, God considers you to be Mubarak. And this is one of the titles that he has. And then he was kind to his parents. وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَتِي, to his mother. And then he was not a jabbar. He was not a wretched tyrant. Again, beautiful qualities that we have. And this is why we venerate him, right? Nabi Isa alayhi salam says, and this is one of my favorite traditions from him. He says, يَا عَبِيدَ الدُّنْيَا, he says, all the slaves of this world, تَحْلِقُونَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ وَتُقَصِّرُونَ قُمُوسَكُمْ وَتُنْكِسُونَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ وَلَا تَنْزِعُونَ الْغِلَّ مِنْ قُلُوبِكُمْ. Very beautiful. Yeah, he says that all the servants of this dunya, تَحْلِقُونَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ, you shave your heads. Shaving the heads has a lot to do with asceticism, the detachment of dunya. So he says, you shave off your heads, you shorten your shirts. Again, this is part of what we see, you know, with some of our Wahhabi brothers who have these very short qamises, right? Very short shirts. We have traditions with that. The purpose of that is what? Even we are told to shorten our shirts or shorten our qamis. Why? So that we don't sweep up dirt with it, right? That you keep hygiene. But they have taken it to the shorter you are, the more religious you are, you know? So this is a representation of that again, that I am following a religious trend or a tradition or a religious custom. So he says that you who shave your heads, who shorten your shirts, وَتُنْكِسُونَ رُؤُوسَكُمْ, and you bow down or invert your heads, you do all of these things to display religiosity, is what he is saying. وَلَا تَنْزِعُونَ الْغِلَّ مِنْ قُلُوبِكُمْ, but you don't remove rancor from your hearts. Yeah? You don't remove bitterness from your hearts. You don't remove ugliness from your hearts. He says, what's the purpose of all of these? Very beautiful tradition. Very beautiful tradition. Allah is not concerned with these external features. Allah is not concerned with these external ways. Allah is looking at the heart of a person. Right, and it reminds me very much of a tradition. One of my favorite traditions, where our sixth Imam alayhi salam says, "La tanzuru ila tuli ruku ir-rajul wa sujudihi." He says, "Do not look at the length of someone's ruku and sajda." Yeah, fa inna dhalika shay'un i'tadahu wa law tarakahu istawhasha lidhalik. He says, because that long sajdas and long rukus is something that someone does out of habit. And if they were not to do it, they would feel strange. They would feel weird. That, oh, I didn't do a proper sajda. I didn't recite 10 du'as. And, you know, somebody has a tradition, they do the tradition, right? Somebody has a way of ibadat, they do the ibadat, even though it may be like that, like a checklist, right? But they want to do it, and if they miss one thing from the checklist, there's a problem, right? We can look at that in our mosques too, right? Like if we forget Yasin one day, there'll be emails sent out, right? Because we didn't stick with this, right? The sixth imam says, like, don't look at a person's ruku or sajda because they do these things out of habit. Walakin unzuru ila sidqi hadithihi wa ada'il amana. But look at how honest they are in their speech and how well they fulfill the trusts of each other. Do they keep promises? Do they keep secrets? Are they nice to people, right? And so you look at the heart of an individual. And again, a lesson for us. Let's look at refining our morality. Let's look at refining our hearts. And inshallah, it will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حالي حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Former U.S. President Donald Trump does not shy away from directly or indirectly expressing racist opinions and emphasizing the suppression of anti-racism protesters. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. Agence France-Presse has covered this story. The Biden White House has blasted former President Donald Trump for meeting at his Florida estate, Mar-a-Lago, with a notorious white supremacist, Nick Fuentes, and with the disgraced rapper, Kanye West. Donald Trump had dinner with Nick Fuentes on Tuesday night, 22nd of November, alongside rapper Kanye West. At his Mar-a-Lago resort in Palm Beach, Florida, Trump posted on his Truth Social account late on Friday, 25th of November, he said, "I didn't know Nick Fuentes." White House Deputy Press Secretary Andrew Bates on Saturday, 26th of November, condemned Donald Trump's meeting with Nick Fuentes. Bates told CNN, "Bigotry, hate and anti-Semitism have absolutely no place in America, including at Mar-a-Lago. White supremacy is dangerous and it must be forcefully condemned." President Joe Biden, however, ducked a question about Donald Trump's dinner with the white nationalist. "You don't want to hear what I think," he said. Trump formally entered the 2024 race for the White House recently, his third serious presidential bid, and his embrace of a white nationalist unsettled some of his one-time administration officials. So far, he's the only prominent Republican to enter the race to challenge Joe Biden. In the meantime, multiple other GOP officials and members of the Trump administration have voiced their readiness to take part in the 2024 U.S. presidential race. Among the more prominent Republican volunteers include former Vice President Mike Pence, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. According to a political analyst and a former congressional candidate, Donald Trump has a very long history going back to his father of being a white supremacist. Miles Honig said, "As a landlord in New York, he clearly was overtly racist in his practices and passed along these traits to Donald Trump when he started to be involved in the housing and rental industry." Miles Honig added, "Throughout his 2016 presidential campaign, he targeted non-whites, especially Latinos, classifying all of them as drug dealers and criminals." Honig said, "His entire immigration policy is to refuse entry to people from African and Islamic countries and bring in people from places like Norway," adding, "During the Charlottesville new Nazi rally, where one woman was murdered, Donald Trump said, 'There were good people on both sides.'" Meanwhile, The Hill newspaper has also covered the same story. Former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie slammed former President Donald Trump's awful lack of judgment for his meeting with disgraced rapper Kanye West and white nationalist Nick Fuentes. Chris Christie said, "This is just another example of an awful lack of judgment from Donald Trump, which, combined with his past poor judgments, make him an untenable general election candidate for the Republican Party in 2024. Chris Christie's comments come after Donald Trump became the first major GOP candidate to announce his candidacy for president recently. The former president has received some of the blame for the party's lackluster performance in the midterm elections. Several Trump-backed candidates in high-profile races lost to their Democratic opponents in midterm elections. A number of candidates Donald Trump endorsed defeated primary opponents who were seen as more competitive candidates but were less loyal to the former president." And amid the finger-pointing, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has gained traction as a viable 2024 GOP presidential nominee. Opinion polls since the midterm elections have shown Trump's support somewhat declining compared to that of Ron DeSantis, who has been rumored to be considering his own 2024 presidential bid. Polling previously indicated that DeSantis had most support among Republican alternatives to Trump in a 2024 primary, but the former president led by much larger margins than he has recently. Chris Christie and several other major Republican Party leaders have called for the GOP to move on from Donald Trump. Chris Christie told The Times that hosting Nick Fuentes and Kanye West was a matter of getting attention. He said, "He can't stand not having attention all the time, and so having someone show up at his club, even if you believe that he didn't know who Nick Fuentes was, and want to sit with him, feeds the hunger he feels for the attention he's missing since he left the presidency." Donald Trump said in a Truth Social post after the meeting that Kanye West had asked to meet him, but that he did not know who Nick Fuentes was. The British newspaper The Guardian has more details. US Democrats, anti-racist groups, and some Republicans have condemned Donald Trump for having a dinner with American white supremacist Nick Fuentes after details of their encounter at the former US President's Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida emerged. The meeting is the latest in a long line of incidents involving the former president and the far right, including once referring the Proud Boys in a presidential debate and his comments that there were very fine people on both sides after 2017 clashes at a white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, that left one person dead. Donald Trump has admitted he met Nick Fuentes, who is open about his extreme racist views on his podcast, during a dinner with Kanye West, the disgraced rapper. The meeting was roundly condemned. Jonathan Greenblatt, the chief executive of the Anti-Defamation League, which campaigns against bigotry and racism, condemned Donald Trump's meeting with Nick Fuentes and expressed shock at the development. Jonathan Greenblatt told the New York Times, "Nick Fuentes is among the most prominent and unapologetic racists in this country. He's a vicious bigot and white supremacist who has been condemned by leading figures from both political parties." Democrats joined in the criticism. Democratic National Committee spokesperson Amar Moussa said in a statement that the move should see Trump, who recently announced a 2024 White House run, barred from representing the Republican Party. Democratic National Committee spokesperson Amar Moussa said, "If it was any other party, breaking bread with Nick Fuentes would be instantly disqualifying for Trump. The most extreme views have found a home in today's MAGA Republican Party."
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
A few strive in the cause of God, victory will definitely follow. The following is a part of the speech delivered on June 28, 2022, by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the head of the judiciary branch and a number of top officials and employees of the judiciary. Martyr Beheshti was an outstanding personage. He was truly, in all fairness, an outstanding person. From the time he came from abroad and up to the time of his martyrdom, During the years before the victory of the revolution, we were continuously working with him from up close. I witnessed that truly he was an outstanding personage. I witnessed the same thing in the organizations where we worked together. The late Ayatollah Taleghani was elected as the chairman of the Revolutionary Council. But this same council unanimously were of the opinion that he needed as a vice chairman. And Mr. Beheshti was chosen by them to be that vice chairman. Mr. Beheshti was in charge of the administration of the Revolutionary Council. Even during the lifetime of the late Mr. Taleghani, he was an outstanding personage. May God exalt his rank by his grace.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
I'd like to take a quick look at the situation during that time and this gathering. These events are something for us to learn from. Taking into consideration the situation that existed 41 years ago on June 28th can be enlightening. First of all, in those days, the imposed war had created the worst, most difficult situation. Saddam's regime had brought its forces close to our large cities in both the south and in the west. Some of the cities they had taken control of, in some cities such as Ahvaz, Desful, and some other cities in the west of the country, their forces had come close to those cities. During the first months of the year 1360, that is 1981 AD, in April, May, and June, I was in the western region of the country. I won't forget, I mean even now, while I'm talking to you, the effect of the grief that had spread over the region at that time is still in my heart. A cloud of sorrow had spread over the whole western region. This could be seen wherever a person went.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.